Clarity. Presentation of thesis or central argument. Statement of purpose. Delineation or narrowing of topic. When I talk of clarity, presentation of thesis or central argument, what is the main idea when I'm communicating to you? What is the gist of it? What is the main idea as far as the topic is concerned? Am I putting it in a manner whereby, as we say, relevance of subordinate or secondary arguments? That means, am I putting it in a manner where I have the main idea and then I have the subordinate idea? This means that the subordinate idea will always support the main idea. For example, an individual in the organization, a subordinate, has to prepare a report for the decline in the sales of goods in the year 2013-14. That's the main idea. What are the subordinate points to this? What is the reason for the decline in sales of goods? What ideally can be done to resolve this? So that comes as the subordinate idea. The word choice. Avoid usage of jargons. Be clear, accurate, specific with the kind. Be clear, accurate, specific with the kind of words we are using. Technical language and jargon. See, if it's the audience who does not understand technical terms, then ideally the person who is explaining needs to put forward in the simplest of words the technical terms. So explaining technical terms to a non-technical audience, which makes it easier and simpler for them to understand. Structure, that means a sentence, paragraph, document. Paragraphing is very important as far as effective communication is concerned. You have the main paragraph, the second paragraph, and the third paragraph. The second paragraph will have points supporting the first paragraph, and the third paragraph will have points supporting the second paragraph. The third paragraph generally will have a step which will be taken by the sender or the receiver. So for example, if I'm sending an email to you, we request you to send us the brochure by the 17th. This is what I'm expecting from you. Or I can write a sentence whereby I mention, if we do not receive the brochure by the 17th, we can assume that the order stands cancelled. So when we conclude, it is either what I expect from you or what we are planning to do next. The first paragraph, of course, is always the introductory paragraph. So information flows from introduction to the body to conclusion. When I talk of coherence devices, that means giving information in a sequential order, in a logical manner. Style. When I talk of, say for example, written communication, the precision, how accurate I am with words. What words suits best for this audience? What are the kind of words I need to put forward when I'm explaining something which may be difficult for the audience to understand? When we say specificity of language and detail, I first need to understand what the audience knows and does not know. This will make it easier for me to prepare and put forward for the audience. When I talk of abstract versus concrete language, is it something which is not significant or something which is significant? So a lot depends on the information. Is the information of significance to you as an audience? Is the information is of no significance to you as an audience? Action verb versus linking or weak verbs. It is suggested that we use words like recommend rather than recommending. So I guess a lot to do with probably the verbs. But we yet assume this could be more with the grammar, more with the kind of sentence and the structuring of the sentence. Figures of speech, for example, you have a simile. A simile is a figure of speech. So he is as efficient as the director. So somewhere we are comparing person A to person B and saying he is as efficient as the director. does not mean he is the director, but in terms of work, he is equally efficient. So similarly, somewhere it compares. Tone. Tone is of prime importance for communication to take place. Your tone reveals a lot about you as an individual. Your tone reveals a lot about you in terms of the statement you want to put forward, and your tone ideally identifies or relates to the audience in what context you want to speak. Active versus passive voice. For example, the subordinate completed the assignment on time. That's active voice. What will passive voice be? The assignment was completed by the subordinate on time. We will discuss active and passive voice as we move ahead with the slides. Sentence variety, no sort of ambiguity with the sentence, free from jargons and easy to understand. All these are fundamental for the style you deploy to convey the message effectively. For effective communication, active voice is preferred over passive voice. Active voice is used to emphasize the performer of the action. Passive voice is used to emphasize the receiver of the action. So in the previous slide, we just gave an example in terms of the submission of the report. Ensure your sentences are free of wordiness and unnecessarily complex constructions. Sentences which are easy to understand. Longer sentences may be complex. So, use minimum words for conveying a meaning as far as a sentence is concerned. There should be variety in sentence structure and sentence length to create desired emphasis. You may highlight author's values, personality, and when appropriate, humor in a way that reinforces the message. To an extent, humor is acceptable. Humor also builds bonding and cohesion with the audience. When it's written communication, subtle humor can be put forward. It is reflected with the choice of words and the way you've explained the sentence. Correctness. Rules and conventions of spelling, grammar, punctuation, usage, idiom, style, appropriateness of word choice, and level of formality to audience, purpose, material, social and cultural appropriateness, accuracy in proofreading all go long way to add accuracy to the message you deliver. Let us take each aspect. When I talk of grammar, of course, it involves appropriate grammar in terms of punctuations. Appropriate grammar, that means not having grammatical errors. And we also talk of idioms. For example, when you talk of an idiom, to climb the corporate ladder. Now, we do not take this in the literal sense that you're climbing a ladder, but it means to move up as far as hierarchy is concerned. So when you talk of correctness, in what context are we putting this kind of a sentence or this kind of a phrase if you talk of to climb the corporate ladder? So it has to be relevant to the sentence and relevant to the information given. When we talk of the audience, we need to understand that who is my target audience as discussed before, and will this serve beneficial or will this be effective if I'm putting it forward to my audience. Written communication should be invariably spell checked and the latest edition of dictionary referred. Whenever there is an iota of doubt about correct meaning of a term or word, even if you are sure, it is suggested that you do spell check. If you feel you are sure but there is a doubt, it is better to do spell check. An error in spelling or a grammatical error reflects on you as an individual. So, it is best that before we send an email, or before we put forward written communication to anybody, these aspects need to be checked. The seven qualities of effective communication. Effective communication involves accuracy in the sending and receiving processes and no type of barriers to encumber that accuracy. The seven qualities of effective communication. We need to understand that communication can be effective if all these aspects are looked into. When I talk of complete, information which is given to me is complete, whereby I have all the possible information available with me. If I want to make a decision, if I want to discuss, I have to be updated with all the information. When I talk of concise, not having too many words, the audience is receptive to keywords. So I need to know what I have to say at that juncture. When I talk of being considerate, somewhere I have to understand that, do I need to be empathizing at this juncture? Do I need to focus on what the needs of the audience is, or what are the needs of the audiences? Yes, that always has to be looked into. Concrete, something which has facts and figures. I'm giving you clear-cut information. I'm giving you information which is full of facts. There's no denial. There's no hiding of information. When I talk of clear, being clear with my thoughts. That means when I'm clear with my thoughts, you as an audience will understand better. Lack of clarity can lead to mistakes, frustrated employees, unhappy customers. It can lead to misinterpretation, and thus information which will be put forward will be inappropriate and incomplete. When I talk of courteous, showing respect to one and all. It is extremely important whether it's written communication or verbal communication. Showing respect to the audience is very, very important. Again, it reflects on you as an individual if you are showing respect or not to the audience. And the last one, when we talk of correct, being correct in terms of grammar as well as structuring of the sentence. We now discuss the seven qualities between verbal and non-verbal communication in terms of differences. Verbal communication uses oral or written words. For example, in the near future, we can use one word, soon. So we are putting forward words which are lesser, and at the same time, the message goes across. Non-verbal communication does not use any oral or written words. Does not. That means it's more to do with gestures, posture, body language. Types. Verbal communication is oral and written. Oral may be face to face. Today we have audio video conferencing, teleconferencing, written email, fax, various aspects as far as written communication is concerned. Non-verbal communication, visual, audio, audio-visual, being in silence, all these are forms of non-verbal communication. It is said, verbal communication is easy to understand, non-verbal communication is difficult to understand. Ideally, both can create confusion. Ideally, both have their advantages as well as disadvantages. Very often it is said, verbal communication is easy to understand because through words there is interaction and better understanding. But at the same time, when a person is frowning, we are not aware what is the reason for the person to frown. Maybe the person has had a long day, whereas the person may not even realize he or she is frowning. So it gets difficult to judge, it gets difficult to understand and come to a conclusion. Structured. Verbal communication is structured. Information flows in an appropriate manner. When we talk of verbal communication, for example, an email blast. Say, for example, the director has put forward an email to all the employees in the organization, in the team, since they are not living up to deadlines. Whereas non-verbal communication, it lacks informal structure, it could be a general conversation, and may not or will not have an agenda. Verbal communication, when it's structured, it has an agenda and there is an objective to it. Distortion of communication. When I say distortion of communication, less possibility of distortion of information, high possibility of distortion of information. Again, depends. When it's verbal communication, if communication goes through hierarchy, it may lead to loss of information or message. Whereas they're seeing here less possibility of distortion of information. So we say this is situational as well as individualistic. Continuity. Verbal communication begins and ends with words. Non-verbal communication continues until the purpose is achieved. What does this mean? If two people in an organization have had an argument, even though the argument ends, there will be cold stares, there will be people who will make faces probably, maybe at a subconscious level. So it continues in form of non-verbal communication. Feedback. Verbal communication gives a less and delayed feedback. It gives immediate feedback, right? If we are discussing with our team, what the people feel in the team is definitely visible to the team leader. But they're saying that it gives a less and delayed feedback. Very often it can be immediate too. Nonverbal communication gives a lot of feedback. Yes, a lot is portrayed through gestures, eye contact, body language, postures. So on that front, if we understand, nonverbal communication gives away cues, C-U-E-S. And it is understood and it's a known fact that nonverbal communication speaks much more than verbal communication. The facial expressions, body language convey a lot about an individual. Now, let us discuss the characteristics of communication. When I say characteristics of communication, these are the various qualities for effective communication. Let us first take segmented. What do I mean by segmented? A person who's a marketing manager and a person who's a production manager. Their needs, interests, thought process will be different. So it comes to be segmented. They will differ on that front. Then you talk of specific, giving information which is to the point. We need to understand that whenever we are talking in terms of formal communication, it has to be specific. Why? First and foremost, formal communication is considered to be structured. It is considered to be time bound and it has a goal which needs to be achieved. So it has to be specific. When I talk of accurate, usage of words which are apt, APT, apt for the audience. That means we know that the audience will understand what is conveyed effectively. Timely, correct information at the correct time. Information will lose its value if it is delayed or not given at the correct time. Frequent. When we talk of frequent, it is more like being persuasive. It is more like a follow-up. So communication is something which needs to be consistent. If a project needs to be completed within 45 days, the team leader has to follow up with his team members. There has to be continuous communication for him to understand, is the group in infancy stage, middle stage, or final stage, depending on the time. Have they moved ahead from infancy stage to middle stage after 25 days? Are they going to complete the middle stage of the project and reach the final stage in the last 7-8 days? So, it is very important when you talk of having frequent communication. When I talk of multi-channel, what does it mean? For example, bulletin boards. It is to announce important information or announce about events. So it is put up in the organization where one and all can read. Or you talk of material which is in form of print. So various channels, depending on what the purpose is, why I need to give information and what is the role played through the information conveyed may be through print or through a bulletin board. Face-to-face communication. Today we have webinars. What is a webinar? It is a seminar, lecture or presentation via web using video conferencing technology. Now what is the purpose? That if possible, face-to-face communication is considered appropriate, but depending on the distance, availability of the person, the time, all these aspects has made technology more effective. So video conferencing can serve as a very effective tool to communicate. And two-way communication. When it's two-way communication, it is highly interactive. The sender as well as the receiver are relating to each other, and the sender and the receiver have probably got together to discuss some information and reach to a conclusion. Now we discuss the communication features. First one, communication is intentional as well as unintentional. When we talk of intentional, something which is conveyed to you whereby you as a receiver pick it up. Unintentional, for example, if you're an unintentional receiver, that means you somewhere portray or show some signs of boredom, some signs of probably feeling tired. This may be unintentional. So a lot to do with our facial expressions, body language, and sometimes even words. Maybe the sender or the speaker will make usage of words which was not ideally required for an audience, whereby the sender should have been more empathizing. So a lot to do with intentional and unintentional communication. Now, when we talk of unintentional communication, sometimes it is at a level whereby what you feel within is expressed through your facial expressions. That means somewhere you did not want to reveal the side of you, but it has been expressed. So for example, if you are very stressed out related to a particular project, somewhere you realize you need to keep calm and cool to get the work done by the team. But you all have already been dealing the project and you realize you have the last 24 hours with the team to get it done. So one aspect is that you stay calm and keep motivating the team. But the other aspect is, though you're putting an effort to stay calm, you're also losing your cool. You are getting angry. You are getting temperamental. This is something which you do not want to reveal because the team may get demotivated. So we need to understand that when we're communicating, what should be put forward, that means what should be intentional and what should be hidden. If it is hidden, it is for the better in terms of information or in terms of gestures and body language. Communication is a dynamic process. It is systemic and it is exchange and sharing as far as information is concerned. Let us discuss communication being a dynamic process. When we say it is a dynamic process, it is an ongoing non-static activity. Communication being a process is always changing, always in motion. A process is a series of actions that has neither the beginning nor an end. The notion of process involves a time dimension, which means that the characteristics, causes, consequences of an act of communication are subject to change while the communication act takes place. An important element in communication is the concept of change. Now, when I talk of communication being a dynamic process, it is not only subject to words, it is much more than that. It is subject to nonverbal communication too. It is also subject to time dimension, that means what is put forward in terms of information. At this juncture, what more information can be given so that a crisis in the organization can be resolved. So we are talking of time dimension, and when we talk of ideally a dynamic process, there is constant development, movement progress in the talks which are taking place. If there is development, movement and progress, only then a goal can be achieved. So with time as an important dimension, the characteristics, causes and consequences are also subject to change. When I say causes and consequences, every act will have a consequence. That means if we are looking into time as an important aspect, if we are realizing that we are having enough information to resolve a particular crisis, then of course the consequence will be in a manner which will be, say, beneficial to the organization. For example, you want to launch a product, but there is a worldwide recession. What is the solution at that juncture? What can be done? Is it a high-end brand? Then you may have to decide whether you want to launch the product or not. Is it a product which will be affordable and appealing to one and all, even if there's a crisis? So a lot to do with the causes and the consequences. When we talk of communication as a dynamic process, it grows and develops. That means progress in terms of what is communicated. Even if the same two persons exchange the same ideas again, the communication is not exactly the same as it was the first time, because the two persons have grown and developed and changed since then. Every time we consciously engage in an act of communication, we bring to it all our previous experience, feelings, thoughts, attitudes which have been formed by previous communication events. It is a known fact that our ability to communicate to individuals or an individual is always based on our attitudes, biases, prejudices, our feelings, past experiences. Because somewhere our ability to communicate is based on all these fronts. So we need to know that when we talk ideally of dynamic process, what was your previous experience as far as work was concerned in an organization? Say you worked for 8 years. And what is it now where you worked for another 9 years in the current organization? Your previous experience and the experience here will definitely differ, even if it involves the same kind of work. Your thought process, it is assumed it will evolve as you work for a longer period of time. The ability to deal with crisis and manage people, have people in your team whom you can deal with effectively, have more or better rapport, all this should get better as time goes by. It is not necessary, but we assume that when we talk of our past experiences, attitudes, feelings, biases, prejudices, it should evolve in terms of behavior and on various other fronts. Communication is systemic. When we say systemic, every component of the process is affected by every other component. What are we trying to say? The source, means I'm the sender, the environment, the goal, the medium of communication, the nature of the message, the receiver and the feedback all affect one another. If the sender or the source is inappropriate as far as conveying a message to the audience is concerned. When I say inappropriate, not having clarity of thought, not having information which is appropriate or enough, not being updated with information, then ideally it will affect the receiver. The feedback in return will be a lot of the people may be having frowns on their face, a lot of them will seem disinterested or bored. So we need to understand that the source, the sender, the receiver, a conducive environment, the medium of communication, depending on whether it's mass communication, that means via radio, if it's face-to-face communication. So the medium of communication. And what is the goal? Why am I talking to the audience? What is my purpose to talk to the audience? All this affects one and other. That means all these aspects are interlinked. If the audience is inattentive, uninterested, the source is not able to convey effectively. If a wrong medium is chosen, a particular message may fail to have the intended result. Yes, we are bound by time and distances, but the medium of communication, either face to face, written, should be used effectively as to when, where, what, why. That means, when do I need to communicate this? Where can I communicate? Is it better via Skype? Is it better via audio video conferencing? Why? This is something very important to the company. So what is the purpose? That means, how do I communicate it? If the goal is not clear, the message will be confused. Disturbance at any stage in the communication process affects the result of the entire process. Very important when we talk of disturbance, could be external disturbance. See, right now while I'm talking, if there's a lot of noise in the background, it may affect my chain of thoughts and I may forget to say an important sentence. Thus, the message at that juncture may not be conveyed. And the message which needs to be conveyed at an appropriate time has to go through appropriately to the audience. Communication is both exchange and sharing. When I say exchange and sharing, what does it mean? The two participants, the source and the recipient, exchange ideas and information and influence each other during the process of communication. When we say exchange and sharing, it is give and take of information. They also come to a shared and common meaning as a result of the communication. Communication, when it is formal structure, that means as hierarchy, it will have an outcome. They share as well as exchange thoughts and meanings. Communication thus is a meeting between two minds or a meeting of two minds. Now, we will just discuss the basic definitions of communication. Communication is the transfer of information from one person to another, whether or not it elicits confidence. When I say elicits, ideally when we talk of elicits, it means draws out a response. Now, when I talk of effective communication, there should be a response. When I'm speaking to an audience, the confidence level should be there. But very often, the speaker or the sender may not have an appropriate level of confidence. Very often, the speaker or the sender may ideally be far more aggressive than required. Communication is the process of passing information and understanding from one person to another by Keith Davis. And here we have Kelly Huff. In dyadic communication or public speaking, the channel or means of sending or receiving information is both verbal communication, that means spoken word, and non-verbal communication, which is gestures and one's appearance. In simplest of words, dyadic communication means communication between two people. Dyadic. One of the most common forms of dyadic communication is speech communication, whereby a speech is given. But when we talk of dyadic, it also links people together, could be social or professional. Now, various forms of communication, the outcome is more or less the same. You have a sender, you have the receiver, the audience, you have the sender who ideally should be having clarity of thought, so information is conveyed appropriately. You have a sender who ideally is effective in communicating what needs to be communicating. You have a sender in communicating what needs to be communicated. And thus, when you talk of effective communication, it is verbal as well as non-verbal. Communication requires a sender, a message, and a recipient. Although the receiver does not have to be present or aware of the sender's intent to communicate at the time of communication. Thus, communication can occur across vast distances in time and space. If I send you an email, does not mean you are there reading my email. But it also means that I have put forward information to you, and it is up to you when you read it. Generally, it is assumed that as far as communication in corporates or organizations is concerned, one has to be quick as far as replying to emails is concerned. Communication requires that the communicating parties share an area of communicative commonality. There has to be something common between the sender and receiver. Because if there is something common between the sender and receiver, then chances of the goal being achieved will be higher. The communication process is complete once the receiver understands the sender's message. Communicating with others involves three primary steps: thought, encoding, decoding. We will discuss all of these. When I see the main components of the communication process, in what context am I saying or giving information? Then you have the sender, the medium of communication, which we've discussed before, the recipient, the receiver, and the feedback. So let us discuss all these aspects for you to understand better.